Do you ever feel like life is just too much to handle? The cares and loads and burdens of the life get you down? I asked Jim to sing that song to help us focus on that. And I want us to talk about that for a few minutes. But before we get into the lesson, I want to welcome everyone again. We've got a good number out this evening. We have visitors again. Some from Inglewood. We had one from Inglewood here this morning. Got a visitor, I wouldn't say from the community. He made quite an effort to get here. We appreciate that very much. So what do we do when our burden is too heavy to bear? And you stop and think about things that are going on right now. You turn on the TV, the first thing you hear is about a pandemic and people dying. The media just focuses on fear. You see so many people, we talked about that before, they're afraid to do anything. There's all of that. There are the cares of life, health issues. We have so many people on our prayer list that have health issues. We have people that have depression. We have people that have lost loved ones. And life can just seem really heavy and hard to bear sometimes. Well, let's turn to Galatians chapter 6, and hopefully we'll find a few answers on how to deal with this situation. Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. So we all have loads. There's no escaping that. That's just part of life. But again, what are they and how do we deal with them? And it seems like for some reason right now it's just an extra stressful time. I can't remember it being like this ever, partly because of the focus of the media. So there are things going on in the country. There's things going on in this congregation with the loss of loved ones and just, again, from things in the world. But when we talk about a burden, what is a burden? A burden carries with it the idea of heaviness, trouble, load, weight, that which presses heavily upon us. You think about a ship. And that load, that ship's load is a burden, it's a load. You think about a soldier's pack that he would put on as he would go marching. That's a load, that's a burden that they carry. Burden also carries with it sometimes the idea of tribulation, where it's crushing something. Like to take wheat and crush it to flour, to take grapes and crush it to juice. That is also relates to a load or a burden. And again, the song we just sang, burdens are lifted at Calvary. There's hope for us, there is help for us to lift those burdens. So to begin with, we need to understand we all have burdens at one time or another. None of us are free from burdens. We might be free from burdens right now, but sometime in the future, we're going to have them. We've had them in the past, we're going to have them in the future. And that's one of the reasons that we're looking for a better home. If there were no problems here on this earth, why would we want to leave and go home to be with God in heaven? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. I've read this two times in the last month, both times at funeral services. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. So again, our body is referred to as a tent. And this tent, it's just temporary. It's going to be torn down. And while we are living in this tent, what's going to happen? We are going to groan. We are going to have burdens. We are going to have loads. We groan being burdened because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Again, this is just temporary, and God has something better waiting for us. So our body is referred to as a tent, a tabernacle. We have aches and pains. The older we get, the more aches and pains we have. We slow down. Things take longer. Things are harder. Things that once were easy may become extremely hard and frustrating. That is life. That is part of life. Job tells us in Job chapter 14, verse 1, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. So life is very short, and it's going to be full of trouble. That's what we should expect. That's the way it is. It's like a flower that comes forth and withers. We have on the back slope of our place, we have a lot of daylilies that came up a couple weeks ago. Very beautiful daylilies. Now, with the heat, they're withering. They're dying down. Their beauty's gone. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. How long does a shadow, how long do you see a shadow? It's here and then it's gone. That's what life is like. James tells us in James chapter 4, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city, spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just like a vapor that appears for a short while and then vanishes away. You think about a tea kettle. I know not too many people use a tea kettle. We still use one. You see that steam come out, or you go outside on a cold morning and your breath comes out as a vapor and then it's gone. Again, that's what life is like. But notice back in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load, his own burden. That sounds kind of hard, that we each have to bear our own burden. But we're going to see in this section, there's three different types of burdens. And these loads or burdens have to do with the whole of one's duties to God. There are burdens that we bear in life just because we live. They are common to man. We bear them simply because we live in a world of sin. Psalm 55 and verse 22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be forsaken. Now, our burdens may be heavy. Sometimes they will be very heavy. But when we follow the Lord will never allow the righteous to be shaken. He will carry us through it. Does that mean things are going to be perfect? No. That may even mean that we die in that burden that we are in. But if we follow the Lord, we are not going to be forsaken, and he will take us on to our reward. And we shouldn't give up too early on our burdens. God is using those burdens, those loads, to draw us closer to him. And we must believe that God is powerful enough, he's faithful enough, he's wise enough, he's good enough, he's holy enough, he's loving enough, enduring enough to accomplish what he has set before us. He's not going to give us anything that we cannot handle. And sometimes we just give up and say, I can't do that. But God is not going to give us something more than we can handle, but we have to draw on God to help us with that. And when we understand the reality that God is able, we understand that we aren't limited by our own strength, our own wisdom, our own resources, but we can draw on the infinite goodness of God and the love of God according to His power that works within us. So, to please God, we are going to change, we're going to grow, we're going to mature in this life. And some of those lessons that we learn in growing are going to come about by the burdens, the loads that we bear. And I've heard it said, you learn more lessons when you're in the valley than when you're on the mountaintop. When you're on top of the mountain and life is fine, everything is great, it's enjoyable, but you don't learn anything. But when you're down in the valley, going through the valley, when you have to get down on your knees and beg God to help you get through the day, you learn something about life, about what's important, about you learn something about God, and you learn something about yourself. So again, when we look at these burdens, we see there's three different types. We're going to see there are our own burdens that we bear, and then we are to help bear the burdens of one another. And then we'll look at the last type of burdens. When we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. So we need, when we think about this, fulfilling, helping to bear one another's in burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ in verse 2, we need to look out, stop looking in at ourselves. We need to look out and ask ourselves, how can we help each other? What burden do you have that I can help you with? What can I pray for you about? What can I do? And sometimes we fall into the trap of being so selfish. All we do is think about ourselves. Woe is me, poor pitiful me. And when we look out to help others, we can help them, and that'll help ourselves too, because it'll take our focus off ourselves. And when we bear one another's burden, there's a mutual assistance. And part of this talks about sin. And when someone is overtaken in sin, we need to help release him from that sin. Again, that's one of the burdens. Notice in verse 1 again, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, this type of sin is not habitual. It's like if a person slips, they fall, they stumble. You think about walking along on an icy patch. You slip, you fall. You're on a dangerous trail. You slip, you stumble, you fall. What do we do? Those who are spiritual, we restore such a one with a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We don't get on them and beat them up for not doing right and what is something that they can't avoid. Just like if we saw somebody in the parking lot and they slip and fall on the ice, what are we going to do? Are we going to get on them verbally? Are we going to say, how can I help you? Let me help you get up. You've fallen, let me help you get back up. When we have sin, when we see sin in each other, that's what we need to do. And sin's a burden. If we don't take care of that sin, that burden's going to weigh us down and spiritually kill us. We shouldn't go pointing our finger and wagging our finger and said, you did that wrong. We need to lovingly, gently point something out to them in a spirit of gentleness, because we need to look at ourselves also so that we are not tempted. It says, restore such a one. We've been talking about restoring on Wednesday night. Restoring is like setting a broken bone. It's like mending a fisherman's net. Restoring a house. We restore a house, we take an old house, we make it like new again. I had the slide up on Wednesday night of an old car and a new car, restoring it. We all understand that. Restore implies that the person is broken or lost, and we want to restore them and make them like new again. So the goal is to restore, make new again in brotherly love. Not to hold it over their head, but to bring that sin to their mind so that they repent of it and to bring them back in fellowship with God. And friend, why do we need to do that? Because sin separates us. It separates us from God. And we've all sinned. We've all sinned, so we shouldn't have an attitude that I'm better than this person. Look, they sinned. I've sinned too. We've all sinned. So we need to have that understanding when we help somebody with their burden of sin. We want to restore them. We might have to rebuke them. We might even have to withdraw from them. And why would we do that? Well, because we care about their soul and to keep the church pure and holy without spot or blemish so that the church does not become contaminated. Ephesians 5:27, the husband wants the bride to be pure. Christ wants his bride, the church, to be pure. And again, notice the spirit that we're to have when we do it, and gentleness and meekness. So we need to be kind, but we need to be firm. We need to do it out of love, and we need to be aware of our own weakness. And when the church withdraws from someone, does the behavior that we demonstrate to that individual help them get rid of that burden of sin, or does it encourage them to keep it? And stop and think about that. We've all seen people that have left the church or been withdrawn from, and the way that we treat them, do we treat them in such a way to help them get rid of that burden and come back to the church, or the way that we treat them, do we encourage them to keep doing what they are doing? So we know from verse 1 and 2 that it's talking about the burden of sin for sure. But there are some other burdens that we can help each other with also. One of them, again, that we have been carrying here is the burden of sorrow. The burden of sorrow. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And Nella and Delaine, there's been a lot of weeping with you two from the congregation here. We feel each other's pain, and we help you bear it. You aren't in it alone. There may be a setback in life. There may be a relationship that causes sorrow that becomes a burden. There may be a divorce. There are a lot of things in life that become burdens. There may be a burden of physical need. Maybe someone is having financial difficulties. Maybe the burden is they can't afford food. They can't afford clothing. They can't afford the physical things of this life. What do? We help them bear that burden. James 1:27 says, this is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And a lot of people experience these things. A financial setback, they lose their job, they might have a bankruptcy for whatever reason. Some people, their medical bills become so much, they have to file bankruptcy. It may be losing a house. There are many things. There are some burdens of life, though, like that, that I can't take away from you. I can't take that burden away from you, but I can help you carry the load. I can try to lighten the load. How do we do that with each other? We can pray with each other. We can spend time with each other. You know, loneliness is a burden. How do you cure the burden of loneliness? You spend time with somebody. You say, I can't get there and see him. Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone and call him. You may be the only call that they get during the day. And we can help carry each other's burden. We can help lighten the load. And again, of course, there's the burden of sin. Romans 6:17, that was our verse this morning for the lesson. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. We talked about this morning, we used to be slaves of sin, servants of sin, enslaved by sin. But Christ delivered us. He gave us independence. He gave us freedom. We're freed from that old master. And we should celebrate that. We should celebrate our independence from being enslaved to Satan and sin. Well, how do we lift the burden of sin? Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So one way that we can lift the burden of sin is just by teaching about it. You see, some people get involved in things in life, not necessarily because they are looking to do wrong. They just haven't been taught any better. They haven't been taught, if you do this, this is going to happen. And they get caught up in a life of things that they shouldn't. One of the ways we can lift the burden of sin is just by teaching about it. And if we do not teach, what should we expect in the future? We should expect more sin and more problems, more burdens. Ephesians 6, 19-20, Paul says, "And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me and the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Preachers need to speak boldly. Every Christian needs to speak boldly. That doesn't mean we have to yell and scream at somebody, but we need to tell them what they need to hear. I've had conversations with people that were hard to have, And I told them the truth, and it was hard to tell them, but once I told them, then that burden was on them, and it was lifted from me. Because if I knew that person was in sin, and I didn't tell them what they needed to do, God would hold me accountable on the day of judgment for being quiet about it. We need to teach people, we need to warn people, and that will help lift that load of sin. If we're in a congregation where there are elders, Hebrews 13:7 talks about obey your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over you and your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So we can pray for elders, we can live right again, we can try to follow God's word, and that will eliminate so many problems and burdens in life. So I heard somebody say one time, there's enough, and he used the word landmines, there's enough landmines that are spread out in life that we don't need to try and go and jump on any of our own. We need to look to be avoiding the ones that are out there, not creating ones for ourselves that are going to make us explode. So we have burdens that we are to help each other with. We have burdens that we must bear just because we live in a world of sin. We live in a world of sin, so we know there are going to be things that we have to bear. And then we get to the third type of burdens. There are burdens that I can't handle. You try to help me carry that load, and you can't help me. And how do we handle those? What do we do? Do we just throw up our hands and say, that's it, I give up? No, we have to ask for divine assistance. We'll have burdens in life that are beyond the reach of human effort. We try everything we can. As brothers and sisters, we try to help everybody with what they have, and we still can't lift that burden. Then we have to turn it over to God. One of the ways you can do this, you take your problems, you mentally throw them on a sheet, you tie the corners together, and you throw them up to God. Now that sounds easy, it's hard to do, but that's one way of thinking about it. Now think about what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So Peter had this understanding of taking your burdens. I just can't bear this anymore. What does God want us to do? He wants us to cast our burden on him. Why? Because he cares for us. Now think about Peter. What was he before he became a disciple? He was a fisherman. And Peter had to cast nets into the sea many times. And you know what he would do when he would cast a net into the sea? He would pull that net back in. He would cast it out, he would pull it back in. That's not the word that he's using here. You see, I do that sometimes. I'm guilty of that. I'll take all my cares and worries and burdens, and I'll cast them on God, and then what do I do? Do I let him carry them? No, I bring them back. They crawl back inside my head, and I start worrying about them again. Cast your cares on him. This is a different word than throwing that net out. This is the idea of throwing it out, throwing it down. You leave it, you walk away from it. You don't pick that worry back up. It's also the other illustration used is like taking a blanket. That's your burden. You throw it on a horse. You let that horse carry that burden, that blanket. That horse is going to carry it and take it away. And what do we do with our burdens? Sometimes we take them to God, and then we don't trust God to handle it. And then we take it back on ourselves, and then what do? We just feel more miserable. We feel more miserable. Do we hear what Peter's telling us? Do we hear it? There are some things we just can't handle by ourselves, and as much as we love each other, we can't help everybody with every burden and load, and we've got to give them over to God. We don't have to look far to see people burdened with the load of life. We have people right here. We all have burdens. Friend, you're not alone. You're not alone. We all feel that way from time to time. And we may have some burdens in life that God will not remove, even when we cast them on God. And does that mean that he doesn't care for us? No. Do we have an example of that? Of somebody that had a burden they couldn't carry? They gave it to God. And who was that? It was Paul. And he had a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. And he prayed to God three times to remove this thorn in the flesh. And what did God say? Did he say, okay? He said, no. He said, his grace is sufficient. Sometimes God wants us to bear something in life to help us learn something. And God may not take it away, but he will still help us bear it. And even with Paul, even though he did not remove that thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, he helped Paul through his life. And even though Paul was beheaded and lost his life, again, we're all going to die. We're in this tent, this tabernacle. It's temporary. We're just here for a short time. And when Paul lost his life, what happened? He was escorted into paradise, waiting the judgment to be with God in heaven forever. God will give us strength to bear our burdens. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How much would you pay to have a life that was free of worry? How much would you pay to have the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension and guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? If you could sell that in a pill, in a bottle, people would pay any amount you put on there. But that's not the way you get it. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We go to our Father in prayer constantly, over and over. And when we do that, how is God going to answer us? What is God going to give us? He's going to give us the peace which surpasses all comprehension and guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. You stop and think about that. David and I had a conversation a while back, and he was telling me about signals and jamming signals. And he said, you can't jam a signal, if I've got this right. You just send out other signals to like overload it, because that signal is always out there. And you think about with Christ, with God, when we are picking up on His signal through prayer, when we are focused on that, all that other stuff out in the world, it's just chatter. It's just chatter. It's just gibberish. But we get distracted by it. And that's when we lose that peace. That's when we feel anxious. And we need to stay focused on Christ. Friends, we must cast life's unbearable burdens upon the Lord. So we need to look at ourselves. I need to look at myself. Am I doing that? And friends, if we aren't doing that, if we aren't trusting in God to help us with the burdens that we have, that we can overcome, if we aren't reaching out to others and saying, can you help me carry this load? If we aren't taking those burdens and casting them on God, what's going to happen? That burden is just going to weigh us down, and it's going to crush us. It's going to crush us, just like taking that wheat and grinding it into flour. That burden is just going to be like taking grapes and crushing them and making grape juice. But God has told us what we need to do. And again, one of the things, we need to stop listening to all that negative chatter out there. I don't know how many times, it's got to be in the thousands. If you turn on the TV, you hear COVID-19 and pandemic and so many new cases and this and that. You hear all of these things that just generate fear. I haven't heard them say yet, the sky is falling. That'll probably be coming soon. But we have real problems, health problems, the death of a loved one. And when our burden becomes too heavy to bear, we've got to turn it over to the Lord. And again, I can't understand some of the things that you go through. I can't understand the death of a spouse. I can't understand the death of a child. But you just think about the death of a child. Some people say, why did God let my child die? God let his own son, his only begotten son, die for us who were his enemies, who sinned against him. God knows every pain that is out there. And God is the one that can help us get through those pains. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." Heavy laden. What's heavy laden? He's talking about load. He's talking about a burden. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you," you know what he said, "rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in your heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden, my load is light." Does that mean it's easy to be a Christian? No, it's not easy to be a Christian. What's he talking about? Light. Light is a comparative term. Light compared to what? Heavy. What's a heavy load? Sin. Being a Christian is light. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load, my burden is light." His load that we carry is going to take us to eternal life. Satan's load is heavy. It's just going to crush us. That sin is going to kill us. Friend, if you're outside of the family of God, your burden will crush you. Again, just like crushing wheat into flour, like crushing grapes into grape juice, and you'll have no relief. Why not have the privilege of asking your Father to carry your load? If you aren't a Christian, why not become a Christian? Why not become a Christian right now? If you are and you still have those loads, everybody here is willing to help you. I'm confident of that. And if we try and we can't help you, God is there to help you where we can't. Friends, if there's anybody here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.